always wanted to know who the best player was on tour simply because I wanted to actually work as hard. And then I ran into a little guy by the name of George Knutson out of Canada. And I watched him hit the golf ball. I watched him with the wide stance, making the club back way inside, releasing the club.
Hello and welcome to a new edition of the McKellar Golf Podcast, an emergency edition. I'm not sure how many people are interested in this, Jeff, but we have been talking about the malarkey, shenanigans, framework agreement between the PGA Tour, the Saudi Public Investment Fund, and latterly a group of American investors now known as the Strategic Sports Group. Anyway, there was an announcement this morning. We referred to it on our podcast yesterday. I was terrified when I heard this announcement was coming, Jeff, just because it would reveal so quickly after our last discussion how wrong we had been. But turns out that we weren't that wrong. Announced this morning, PGA Tour, a statement released to players. There was a call meeting with players. I spoke to a player who listened in but turned it off after Jay finished speaking. He wasn't terribly blown away by it all, and there was nothing much new from his perspective. But anyway, the press release announced the launch establishment of something called PGA Tour Enterprises. This is the for-profit organization that will be spun off what we currently know as the PGA Tour. The evaluation, Jeff, get this, the evaluation put on this organization by the PGA Tour is $12 billion. That's the Yankees plus plus the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Plus a top.
No, that's enough. That's it. That's the Yankees and Dodgers. Yeah.
No, I think you could probably throw in a Premier League team for that as well. Maybe Crystal Palace or Brentford. That's a very high valuation. Anyway, we'll let them have that. The other main part of the announcement is that this new enterprise will be part, at least for the initial period, will be funded by an investment from the Sports Strategic Group of initially $1.5 billion, going up to $3 billion. That would put the Strategic Sports Group's ownership of PGA Tour Enterprises at, let's say, back of the envelope, 25%. The Strategic Sports Group is a collection of sports franchise owners from the United States, notably Fenway Sports Group. They seem to be the lead group in this strategic SSG, we'll call them from now on. That's Tom Henry, so John Henry and Tom Werner. Then you have other names. I mentioned Arthur Blank, who is the owner of the Atlanta Falcons NFL team. Steve Cohen, Mets as an MLB team. Mark, I don't want to probably mispronounce this, Mark Antanasio, who is the owner of the Brewers. The other items, the other main item in the announcement is that henceforth, up to two, it says in the press release, up to 200 PGA Tour players, present and future. I'll put a pin in that. Up to 200 PGA Tour players, present and future, will have an ownership stake in PGA Tour Enterprises, up to $1.5 billion. So I'm guessing Tiger will get $900 million than that, and the rest will be divvied amongst everybody else. The other 199 players. So this is the ownership stake that players have been grouching about for a while. Phil Mickelson obviously started the ball rolling in that. And lo and behold, here we are 2 years later after Phil's initial meltdown. The players have got what Phil wanted. I wonder if Phil will get, as a past PGA Tour member, I wonder if he'll get his stake in the new PGA Tour Enterprises, to be determined, I suspect. No mention of... other than to say that negotiations continue with the Public Investment Fund, the Saudis, and a deal is expected somewhere down the line. Jeff, was it a big yawn for you, or was it what struck you straight away out of it?
Yeah, mostly a yawn, I guess. There was really nothing too new in terms of what we'd like to have answers to, which is how is this good for the game? Besides the pocketbooks of a few people, and what are these people going to get for their money? We don't have an answer to that. And I just other than that, I don't really know why anybody should care based on the details. That said, I also appreciate the fact they didn't try to position this as some wonderful moment for the game of golf. So they at least have the awareness, I thought, to just put the information they have. They put it out. We noted who the lead investors are. You noticed that the PGA Tour Enterprises has an official CEO named Jay Monahan. And you picked up on that. I noticed, just this is a media thing, but the release, and I emailed the person with a question, was sent by the tour, but it inquiries are being handled by a separate public relations firm, which would be a sign that they're still trying to keep this separation between the nonprofit PGA Tour and the PGA Tour Enterprises. What that means, I don't know, but for the moment, that's what they're trying to project. And even though a lot of us don't really believe that that will be the finished product in all of this situation, that it'll end up being one entity of some kind and the nonprofit model will go away. But who knows? For now, all we can do is go by what we have. And as I said, I didn't expect them to tell us much. And I'm happy that they didn't try to tell us that this was going to be good for the fan or the people who are surrounding the ecosystem of the PGA Tour and the charities and the sponsors and all that. They didn't really try to do that. So that's, I guess that's a, I don't know if that's a big positive or not, but.
Yeah. Well, it's a 3-page press release that was widely available on certainly on Twitter. I don't know who had it first, but kudos to those who did. But it's full of the usual corporate gobbledygook. But somebody asked, people are asking, what's good about this? Why is this good for golf? And the best response I've seen so far is from Max Homa. He went on Twitter. I'm going to read this because I think it's really quite smart. Max said, I know everyone is sick of hearing about how much more money golfers are getting. My optimism on this deal lies in the main point of this, which is we now have very savvy and experienced stakeholders, i.e. the sport, strategic sports group, who have a lot of incentive to improve the product creatively and make it better for the fans. Somebody then asked him how the fans benefit from any of this, Max, and he said, because the investment group isn't just donating money, they want to make money, so they need people to watch golf to make money, so they better do a damn good job to make this more watchable and entertaining for the fans. I think that's a pretty fair point. And you have a collection of France sports franchise owners who have a decent history. Certainly they're in leagues, the NFL, Major League Baseball, the English Premier League in particular. So these people are coming, have a background and have shown that they can substantially improve the audience for their sports franchises and improve the product. I mean,
really?
Liverpool.
Tell me how that's the case.
Well, you look at the Fenway Sports Group and what they've done with Liverpool, which was a once great football, I hate calling it a franchise, but a once great football club, gone to rack and ruin, failing on the field, failing off the field, derelict, not derelict, probably too strong a word, but fairly poor facilities in a modern context. The Fenway Sports Group come in, transform the team on the park, transform the team off the park, bring Liverpool back. They won the first Premier League title in 30 years, I think it is. The actual product, the social media content, the fan experience at Liverpool, the community experience at Liverpool, the community outreach to Liverpool. It's a vastly, vastly improved franchise. I've never been a particular fan of Liverpool, but you kind of find myself these days rooting for Liverpool because they really do things in the right way. I mean, as much as any English Premier League club can do, leaving aside ticket prices and all that kind of stuff, which is just inescapable these days when it comes to viewing sport in person. So Fenway's done a brilliant job at Liverpool. You might be able to speak better to the guys in the States, but I mean, the Atlanta Falcons, Blank also owns the MLS team in Atlanta, and that is by far the most successful and vibrant franchise within the MLS setup. Although I guess Inter Miami might argue with that now, but they had to spend fortunes, Lionel Messi, to do that. Blank has done it. Our Blank's organization has done it brilliantly with the Atlanta team. I don't know about the other guys. You're not a particular fan of Steve Cohen, I don't think, are you?
Oh no, I'm a huge fan. I'm a Dodger fan, so I love the way that his Mets tenure has started. It's been a mess. Positive in many ways. Don't get me wrong. He's investing and trying to be better with fans. And my question though, Lawrence, to you, or reason I'm asking, why these people are just assumed to have the creativity to turn around golf? I guess the first question is, you know, what is it that is the issue for that's wrong with the PGA Tour that they would have the expertise in fixing, since running a golf tournament and everything that goes with the sport and how the sport is played and what's entertaining? Yes, social media, investing in some of these things is very important, but some of those things have absolutely nothing to do with anything these people can control, like the way the game is played. You know, the parity in the sport right now, what the power game does to make the game less interesting, what each tournament does in terms of how it is marketed and how the fan experience goes. Certainly there's an inconsistency on the tour there that could be targeted, you know, week to week. Different events are run differently. Some are run better than others, but some of that's just the individual sponsors spend more. So there's things like that they certainly could, by investing, help improve. But the PGA Tour Enterprises, that what does that have to do with the week-to-week tour? We're told that's being kept separate. The nonprofit PGA Tour week-to-week schedule is different than PGA Tour Enterprises, which we don't know what it is. So until we know what their money is going to, how can we say that they're going to improve the product on the course when we don't even know what the money is going to?
If you look back
besides
to the framework
player
agreement,
pockets.
If you look back to the framework agreement of June the 6th last year, there are some clues in what the future is going to look like, because that document suggested that the PGA Tour Enterprises would start running tournaments. That would be the kind of core. That would be the set control center for any future schedule for the PGA Tour. They would take on running those events. I mean, I'm guessing that's what will happen from moving ahead from here. In terms of, I'm not saying that Arthur Blank is personally creative, but he certainly knows how to put together teams. Tom Werner and John Henry. Simple things, Jeff. Straight away, we've talked about this a couple of weeks ago. If you look at the social media output for the European Tour and compare it to what the PGA Tour comes up with, it's embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing.
Well,
and if you
fine,
look at
but
the,
is that a core issue?
In this day and age, Jeff, it really is. I mean, I'll give you, for instance, from today. I spent the morning working, and on the background, I had we talked about it again yesterday. I had the no laying up streaming thing, the on the range thing from the AT&T Pro-Am. Mm-hmm. And I spent 3 hours listening to this morning. I immediately felt better and more positive about the PGA Tour. That, to me, was a good experience. That was an enhanced experience that made me feel a little bit, tiny bit more positive about the PGA Tour and a little bit more engaged. There are tons of ways that you can make the ordinary fan feel more invested in the product. And if that's the case, then you have a better product. I'll spend the next few days walking about telling people how much I enjoyed that on the last two days.
Okay, great. Okay. You want me to be completely blunt here? Okay. All these people are investors in the TGL. Have you seen the absolute garbage shit that TGL has been putting out on social media? I'm sorry to swear on the podcast. It's crap. So I don't care if these people have money. Great. They have money. That doesn't buy wisdom about fixing whatever is an issue in the game. And really the only issue is that Saudi Arabia came along and they have a whole lot more money. And these people are giving money to a thing called PGA Tour Enterprises. We don't know what it is. We don't know if it has anything to do with the improving TikTok. We just don't know. But I think it's absolutely asinine to think that
Well,
these private equity guys, who are ultimately bottom line people, are going to be able to make the sport more relatable or anything else. I just don't know. I'm not judging that they are incapable and saying they are incapable, but so far, if you really want to pin it down, no, the answer is no. They are not capable, based on what I've seen from the TGL, and all these guys put money into the TGL, which, by the way, is not happening at the moment,
right. Well,
because
I'll
they
put
had an
10 years of what.
inflatable tent.
Well, I'll put 10 years of watching what's happened at Liverpool against, a couple of months of what's happened at TGL. I'm sorry. I would
But that's a
have quite a lot.
franchise. This isn't a franchise concept.
Well, it is now. It's a
Golf is a totally different sport.
it's a totally different sport. But again, I'm not arguing over company structure. This is a for-profit sports franchise now. That's what PGA Tour Enterprises is. So if Tom Werner and John Henry are coming in to bring some sort of creativity, bring some guidance, some support, financial support, given based on the experience of what they have done at, say, Liverpool, and to a certain extent, I mean, we can argue over the Red Sox, but the Red Sox, for quite a while under Henry's ownership, has been a vastly improved
No question.
franchise, no question. So, given that that's what they've done in these other instances, I think they will be a good influence, hopefully, on what happens at the PGA Tour. And the other point I want to make, Jeff, it wouldn't be effing hard to improve the product. I mean, it won't require any great strategic geniuses
Really?
or off the wall creativity. Of course not. It's so bad. What exists right now is awful. It is mailing it in,
Are you talking about
asinine
social media?
rubbish. I'm talking about the tour's current social media output,
Okay.
for
Okay.
instance,
Can we
and the way
go
that,
be okay? Can we move beyond social media? What else can be
Right.
improved?
In terms of market, in terms of marketing itself, I mean, I think it would be very easy to make improvements in how the PGA Tour markets itself.
Okay.
Absolutely. Again, these guys, I mean, I'm not, I don't want to be defending billionaires here. I am just saying that, if you want to look at this in any kind of positive sense, the idea that you're bringing in expertise and experience in the field of improving a sports franchise, that is a good thing. These guys, not only is that what they have done in the past, they certainly have a strong incentive to do that in the future with the PGA Tour. That's all I'm saying. Agreed?
I agree they have a strong incentive, and that's about everything else. I don't know what to say because we don't know what they're investing in. And I'm of the belief that running a golf tournament with a group of spoiled brats for the most part is a totally who are all independent contractors for now is a totally different entity and concept and execution than running a sports franchise where you're the owner and you're in one market, and you are trying to target one market with one stadium, and golf is a moving circus with a bunch of different people who are coming and going faster than they've ever come and gone, and you can go on down the list. And I just don't believe that the PGA Tour's social media deficiencies ranks as golf's leading problem, having watched a lot of this stuff over the years. There have been other things. For instance, to your let's go with your no laying up live chat on the range today, which I've watched about half of, and it's fantastic, and I'm enjoying the banter, and it's a great idea. This is something the tour has fought, these kinds of things, media people like me who just want to do a quick video on the course, up to no laying up want to be or Barstool or whoever wanting to be there out and about. This has nothing to do with money. This is about policies and media rights and control. And I'm having trouble seeing how adding this element, these money people, fixes some of these layers that the tour is slowly improving on, but taking kicking and screaming. So that's where I just am not making the connection between all those things. And I believe the tour has a greater problem, and besides Saudi Arabia, that they have a product problem in terms of keeping players around, healthy, playing a game that's as captivating to watch as it could possibly be, and with network partners who are all in on doing the work. You know, it should not be solely about the PGA Tour being responsible for marketing these guys. They need a media partner that is a partner. And we've seen with CBS what they've done for those broadcasts, and we've seen the opposite. No other league has a situation like this where one broadcaster is radically different than the other. Now,
yeah.
Are these guys going to be able to come in and fix that kind of a situation?
Oh, well, you would, firstly, on your point about, you know, media rights on the premises, you would imagine there will be smarter people coming in than the people who are already there, and will see the stupidity of that and see the value in, you know, letting independent media people like yourself,
or they could go the other way.
Well,
demand more based on money.
Well, not based on the experience. I mean, these people are trying to expand their audience. They're not trying to contract it. So you would imagine that they would go the right way. The other thing, you might see it as the PGA Tour as, you know, a set of individual golf tournaments. Perhaps that's not a strength. That might be a weakness, because there is no, as you say, there is no unified broadcasting quality. You have two broadcasters, have CBS on the one hand, which is excellent, and you have NBC on the other hand, which is terrible. So if you have smarter people in negotiating broadcasting rights, I would imagine somewhere down the line, it won't be until after the end of the current broadcasting contracts, but there will be one unitary broadcasting standard.
Maybe.
I would imagine you would hope that would be the case, because that's what these people have done in their previous or in their
No,
their
they've had a league. They've had a league office that handles those things, that reports to them, but
then this is what the PGA Tour Enterprises could be. It could be elite. That could be the league office.
I would also say that, you know, no offense to, I'm sure, some very nice people at PGA Tour Championship Management who work very hard, but they're probably the worst at running golf tournaments that you deal with on the PGA Tour. And that's the tour's in-house operation. So is this group going to come in? And because I think PGA Tour Championship Management's probably a big part of this enterprises element. And they've made a lot of sponsors not so happy. They initially get off to a good start, it seems like. And then they start charging more for this and that. And then the sponsor's like, what are we doing? And then there are other events that are not run by them that are run better and tailored more to that market, and on it goes. So I guess what I'm getting at is I'm looking at these names on my screen, all very, you know, wildly successful people, but I don't know how that translates to guaranteed success running golf tournaments. And then you have players who are more involved than ever. And almost none of them have ever set up a golf course. Set up a tournament. Tiger's the only one that has an entity that's involved in running tournaments. That's it. The rest of the guys on this board are not involved in those kinds of things. And so he's about the only one that I think would be interesting to listen to, because I know from his event here in Los Angeles, both at Sherwood, the World Challenge, and now Riviera and Genesis, I do know he's involved, and I do know how his staff works. And but the rest of them, they don't have much knowledge of these things. So I just think it's important to not assume that they are going to come in and wave a magic wand, particularly when we have these other elements like LIV, what's enterprises versus nonprofit, blah, 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 all that stuff.
I feel slightly, I mean, not to have a go, but I feel that you're almost defending the status quo, which I think we can all agree is pretty poor. You'd have to say the current PGA Tour product is awful. I mean, they are making
what's awful? Tell me, but what specifically? Well, what is besides the social media? What else?
Well, you've already highlighted the discrepancy, the divergence of broadcast quality.
Okay, there's number two. Hand, all right, well, we got that. What about the way the game's played? Would you work with me on that?
Well, that's another thing altogether. And we can, again, we're both on the same side in that. But so just if we stick to the core PGA Tour product right now, it would be harder to make it worse, really, in terms of, if you look at formula.
I think it's very doable to be made a lot worse. That's and I guess that's where we just don't agree. I think it could get a lot worse. You know, I mean, nobody even mentions anymore the great things that having a tour event in certain towns for a long time has done. The Monterey Peninsula Foundation this week. We used to have the Junior Chamber of Commerce in L.A. that gave back. Now it's Tigers Foundation, which is actually a legitimate foundation, unlike a lot of these tax shelter scams that people have. And so I just, yeah, I just know the desert used to have a unbelievable charitable contribution every year, massive during the Hope years. That's gone. I mean, it started with Mickelson. It started a little bit with the Clinton thing, and then the Mickelson years screwed it up. So things can get worse. These are great things that those tournaments do, and I'm hearing nothing about any of that anymore. So that seems to be that ship sailed. And I think it can get worse. I really do.
Yeah.
I have my issues with what the tour does or how they do certain things, but you know, they're also trying to manage. It's a sports league that's unlike anything else in the rest of sports except tennis. That's the only other comp. Everything else is very different. And again, these guys are great at investing in a stadium, investing in a team. But I'd also say they also invested in the TGL and gave us the Common Frogs and the LA Golf Club with people. Justin Rose is now a member of the Team LA Golf Club. So, I mean, again, I realize I'm picking on something that's never even been launched yet and probably unfair.
Exactly.
But I just think there are bigger issues that you have to be ready that this is not going to be the salvation, particularly as we don't even know what this money goes to besides some compensation for guys who didn't jump to live.
Believe it or not, Jeff, I have a long list of drawbacks to this announcement this morning. So I find myself somewhat discombobulated.
And I want to be clear, I'm not writing it off, but I do think you have to, this idea that they can take what they've done at other things and plug it into golf, I think is a naive perspective that Max has. And I would make that case to his face and have no problem with that. And I'd also point out to him that he, as a beloved Dodger fan like me, none of the very, very successful and intelligent people who are who've taken the Dodger franchise and made it worth about five times what they paid for it in this time that they've been owners is involved in any of this. I would argue that some of these owners are not some of the most beloved at the moment, just because of whatever they're doing with the Red Sox this offseason or the Milwaukee Brewers, where they've gone the last couple of years. So anyway, and he doesn't even live in Milwaukee. So there's that. That's part of the problem. He's not exactly beloved. But that's all I'm trying to say. I'm not writing them off, but I also don't think it's like some sort of they'll just come and wave their wand and everything will be hunky dory.
Well, I don't think anybody's saying that. But as currently conceived, as the PGA Tour is currently conceived, I don't think it'd be hard to improve the product. It won't take much. But you are right. There is a huge amount, not a lot of detail in the statement this morning. I guess that'll leak out over the next while, or we might never know. I mean, some things are just sprung upon people. What will you wake up one morning, you discover that Jay Monahan is now the CEO of PGA Tour Enterprises. A couple of things about that. One, you know there's something up when it's sneaked into this statement, this press release.
Well, it was up at the top. But to your point, you noticed something that it stands out because he does not seem to be on solid footing overall.
And well, it seems
quite, to now has another job.
Well, which is quite amazing for two reasons. I mean, I missed the job advert on LinkedIn, or maybe I missed the interview process. Who knows? But all of a sudden, Jay Monahan pops up as the new CEO of PGA Tour Enterprises, which is quite staggering in itself. The lack of transparency in that appointment. The other issue on that is he would have a guy. I think he was recently voted, I think, the third worst a commissioner in American sports. I think he was shouted down at the player meeting last year at the Travelers, I think. I think he was, people were asked, I think it was Grayson Murray or somebody was asking for his resignation. And lo and behold,
well, you're really citing the quality sources.
Well, that's true.
new member of the Player Advisory Council, by the way. What a world, huh?
But just generally,
he does have teeth now, so I mean, there is that. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
But it's generally agreed that Jay Monahan did not cover himself in glory, either with the framework agreement from last year or what subsequently happened. Actually, he hasn't covered himself in glory for the last 2 or 3 years, starting with the refusal to take the meeting with your pal, Andy
Gardner.
Anyway. Yeah.
Who, by the way, proposed something like this structure, as I recall. Don't ask me to get into the money stuff, but it was a very similar structure to this. So it looks like another, although I think his was a little better deal for the players. In fact, I think it was a lot better deal. But anyway, go on.
So that I thought that was absolutely outrageous. So that was one of the points. I thought that was ridiculous. There at least should have been some kind of transparency in the process of appointing who is essentially the Adam Silver of PGA Tour golf. It's quite amazing that given his recent record that Jay Monahan got that job without any apparent competition. Ridiculous. The other which was interesting to me, Jeff, the announcement that players up to 200 players. Members of the
you know what? Can I wait before you do that? I just want to put a thought out there in case I have to go look at some of the documents, but I have better things to do because, as you know, I only cover the major championships now, and I have a readership that wants to hear about that. It also could be that PGA Tour Enterprises, they've had this for profit element for a long time. For those who've tried to track down various salaries and stuff with the 990s. It is possible that, and he's been whoever the commissioner is always the CEO of that. It is possible that that entity is what is PGA Tour Enterprises for now. And he simply is maintaining that role. But to your point, it was noted what the title is. If that was in question, they might have downplayed that, but it was very much right there in the front. But I'm just saying it may be a placeholder thing still. I know. I don't know. I don't care. I don't care about job titles.
He was identified in the press release as the PGA Tour Commissioner and CEO of
PGA
Tour.
It's definitely no. I mean, it got my attention. I'm just saying that it is something to watch. It may not mean is a whole lot if they end up eliminating him, but there's also no guarantee they're going to find somebody better. So.
The mention of players be getting an equity stake in the PGA Tour up to 200 players, I think it said present and future, will be able to access equity worth of up to $1.5 billion. This is, again, we mentioned it earlier, this is what Mickelson was pushing for right from the very off. Well, Mickelson and his offspring, Patrick Cantlay, have achieved that. My one thing about that, Jeff, what about the guys who made the PGA Tour what it is today, the past players and past members of the PGA Tour? So Patrick Cantlay gets, whatever, he gets his $10 million or $25 million. What about the Arnold Palmer estate? Do these people get nothing? I thought that was a bit odd. To me, that smelled like a class action lawsuit coming down the pipe.
It's a tough one because... Yeah, they have this great pension program, and I could see certainly what you're saying. That's been a case that's been brought up. Oh, I almost had it. There was another situation like this of compensating those who help build things from the ground floor, and I think the tour's response to you would be, well, we do have this pension program that is rather revolutionary in the world of sports. Unfortunately, generationally, the current generation values it less than those in the past. And perhaps there's a point where they do invest more in it. I guess what I feel like this whole element is just about making sure to take care of the players who didn't leave for live. And whether you agree with that or not, it's just a fact of what they're trying to do at the moment. But I certainly understand your view that there were people who built the tour and who were bigger stars than people today, other than Tiger or Phil Mickelson or Rory McIlroy, and that didn't make a lot of money compared to what they're making now. But I don't know how much in our, and again, this is a different sport, so I don't know how much you can retroactively take care of those people, especially when you have this pension program that's pretty spectacular. You had to make a lot of cuts, but it is a pretty incredible program, and I don't know how far back you go. I mean, there are issues with that, and I again, I'm not downplaying your point, as I agree with you with it, but I just think right now there's such a struggle to stave off or deal with this hostile bid that they th this is about the current group of people. I guess part of what you're saying is people like take your pick. I don't know any. I mean, there's a lot of different people who were way more important to the PGA Tour than Patrick Cantlay has been, and yet Patrick Cantlay is going to get probably some silly check
Yeah,
out of this.
and I really,
So
I'm using the
that
name.
part of it is what's gross, and I get where you are coming from, certainly from that perspective.
I mean, not to pick on Patrick Cantlay, I just use his name as a
Oh, it's
placeholder.
fine. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be fine. I don't think he'll care. Here, the other thing, just on the private equity guys, I feel like I was spent 10, 15, 20 minutes here sticking up for them. I'm not forgetting that these are private equity guys, and private equity guys
Oh, now
do
you're
what they
coming around.
do. And they do what they do. They speak in the press release about seeing, I think there's a quote from Tom Henry, huge investment opportunities, expansion, growth opportunities. You
John
know,
Henry, you said Tom, I
John
think.
Henry,
Yeah.
sorry. Yeah, I keep on getting John and
It's
Tom
like the
confused.
horse, John Henry. Yeah. Remember
Yeah,
the
right.
racehorse.
And that's all well and fair. I'm sure there are tremendous growth opportunities, but as I say, PE guys do what PE guys do. So
Well,
again, well, let me just finish the thought. The ne by necessity, and I wouldn't expect any great detail on what this stake will and what their involvement will bring, but you would have to expect changes, rationalization, I think, is the phrase I like to use of PGA Tour operations. So I would expect, so Jeff, that this will mean significant job cuts to the PGA Tour as resources, you know, like marketing. I mean, if I've got a marketing operation running at a well-oiled marketing operation running at Fenway Sports, why would I have a badly oiled op marketing operation running at PGA Tour headquarters? You would just merge the two. So I would expect quite a lot of job cuts at the PGA Tour. I would have to say, what's the Fenway Sports looks at the Champions Tour, why would have to say to itself, why are we doing this? I mean, what value does that add to the product? Nobody watches it. It's just a bunch of grumpy old guys, sour-faced, ungrateful.
Oh,
You
that's a
know,
little strong. Come on.
I've been
I
slightly
don't,
provocative.
I, yeah, I mean, they may not be as famous as they used to be, but I don't know. I watched a little bit recently, and these guys are, they're grinding out there. They're working
Oh, they're
hard. They're not,
brilliant.
mailing it in. I mean,
Oh, they're fine. They're
you know,
absolutely. It's fantastic.
I'm just one of those people who's always going to defend the Champions Tour because, well, one, oddly, even though we've had trouble in Southern California with some tour events or bigger men's event, the Champions Tour events have always done very well here. The Newport Beach event's an incredibly well-run event and very successful, double pro-ams and the Ojai event in the back of the day and the Wilshire one. So anyway, the Champions Tour, I'm just always going to defend it because I do think there's a beauty in that golf has the ability to be competitive for people in the 50s. And I just think it's an asset. And I think it's a part of the youth desperation syndrome nonsense that craps on it. But that's just me. To your point, though.
To my point, I mean, I don't disagree with it. Some of the best events I've ever been at, you know, were Champions Tour events. I
Yeah.
loved going to watch these guys. I mean, that's great going watching guys whose swings would look pretty ugly on video, getting in a hole
They
in
get it
pretty quick
around, yeah.
orders. Oh yeah, absolutely. But I'm just saying, from an investment point of view, if I'm, looking, if I'm sitting in a chair at Fenway Sports looking at the PGA Tour and how am I
Yeah.
going to enhance its brand, reach a certain demographic, the demographic that everybody wants. I'm not sure that the
Well,
Champions
here
Tour
we go.
offers any
Here
offer.
we
Well,
go.
it's true. I speaking as someone who's old enough to play in a Champions Tour, Jeff. But again, I'm not sure that the Champions Tour will be long part.
Okay.
Of,
so wait a second. So let me let me get this straight. You want to give money to legacy players as part of this windfall of compensation, but you want to take away the thing where they're actually producing an asset that does benefit communities and benefits them, and that gets them out exercising and standing on the range talking about what Rush Limbaugh said today. Sorry, that's a dated reference.
Jeff, I am.
He's dead.
Go on.
So the point is, you're validating my concern that private equity can't necessarily be trusted yet. And I would further add that this group, definitely better than some of the options that we're interested. No, I want to be very clear. These are sports fans, lovers of sport, lovers of golf, no question. But remember, the Friends of Golf group pulled out of this. And they were the ones, from what we learned and picked up through various bits of intel, were the people who were more committed to not letting private equity come in and jack with the core of what makes the PGA Tour and professional golf great. So I'm just trying to keep you on your toes that you just got to watch all these people is my point.
I'm not advocating for the Fenway Sports Group or whatever. I am just laying out, in fact, I'm laying out these are the cons, a long list of cons that I have from this restructuring. As I said, I would imagine the Champions Tour will not long. It might exist in some other form.
Sure, I think a reduced. Yeah. Yeah, I think you. Yeah, yeah, but there's question. But getting rid of it entirely would be stupid.
Well, again, perhaps not from the point of view of a 40-year-old marketing executive at Fenway Sports Group. But that's, again, I don't say that to defend them. I just say that that's what could happen. Again, a classic PE move is sale and lease back at the Ponte Vedra HQ. Can you imagine? That would be
would be funny.
Yeah, that so that again, that is a classic. If you're anybody who's read Brendan Belew's great book Plunder, that is the classic move from any new private equity owner. Again, they're not owners, but they'll have a strong influence. So the point being, and again, I understand there's no detail of any of this in today's release, and that's understandable. But this is what happens when private equity comes into established organizations. It's hard to believe that that won't be the case with the PGA Tour. So some people are going to lose their jobs. Some people are definitely going to suffer. And that's just a fact of these business transactions. But meanwhile, Jay Monahan gets his new job. You know, he just gets, you know, garlanded into this new position. Actually, when this came out this morning, Jeff, I went back and read the framework agreement from June. That is still one of the most outrageous things that that Herrally, Jimmy Dunn, Jay Monahan, essentially threw all these people like McIlroy and other people under the bus, jumping into bed with the Saudis. Yet in all of it, they made sure that they had positions in this, you know, post June 6th organization. Herrally and Dunn were going to be right in the core of running whatever was next, and Jay Monahan was going to be the CEO of the new PGA Tour Enterprises, with which the PIF was going to be a large minority owner. It was absolutely outrageous. So clearly, Ed Herrally and Jimmy Dunn have been ejected, but Jay Monahan, once again, it's quite incredible, has survived for the moment at least, and he is the CEO of the new CEO of PGA Tour Enterprises. Absolutely hilarious.
You're reading too much into that document.
Okay.
We know now it was strictly about one thing and one thing only: not having Jay Monahan and Yasir sitting in front of and sitting in a law firm office with a crappy camera recording them and a deposition. Just look at, as we're recording this today, a Roger Goodell deposition just was finally unsealed in this settlement, and coupled with a Washington Post special report about how the league has really been deficient on this settlement with related to head injuries and head issues of players. You see why they did not want to have those depositions. They would have been brutal. Ed Herlihy's deposition, or whoever would have done it, of Yasir would have been awful for the private and public investment front, and we had, and I don't think Jay would have done real well either on his end. So, based on his television appearances, I think it would have been hideous for both of them. And the whole thing was about making that go away. Everything else was, we'll figure it out later over a round of golf at Deepdale. They did that. They haven't figured it out. And so that's why we're at where we're at today.
Actually, I think in 5-10 years time, people will look back on that document, that June the 6th document. And I mean, it is so tremendously stupid. I cannot believe that Ed Herhaly is the United States
he
most
was
highly
making,
paid.
Making a problem go away.
Well, but in doing so, created the biggest problem of all was inserting the non-compete.
That's another story.
They inserted the non-compete clause.
Yeah.
I mean, well, talk about alarm bells going off at the Department of Justice or the Office of Fair Trading or whatever it is in the United States that deals with corporate governance. It was just absolutely out, just so stupid.
What I don't get about that, the mistake they made, I thought they had the leverage, the tour did, because I thought Yasir was more concerned about a deposition than Jay. And the moment they budged on the language related to whether Liv could pilfer more players, which they did for the antitrust reasons, that was a disastrous move because they've since pilfered and taken those players. But I thought they had the leverage because it seemed like they were doing really well in court, and Yasir was the one who really did not want to sit for a deposition. Yeah.
Leverage or not, I mean, that sets off. As soon as you insert a non-compete clause between the two major parties in any industry, you are asking for trouble. Absolute stupidity. Finally, this is going on a lot longer. It's actually I thought it was going to be. The statement this morning or the press release this morning makes scant mention of the Public Investment Fund, I think, except to say that the negotiations are going on and they fully expect to make a deal. I'm guessing that is correct because there is no way on earth that the Strategic Sports Group will hand over whatever it is, $3 billion of their money without knowing that the elephant in the room, the extremely powerful and limitlessly funded rival in the field will somehow join up. And there is no way that they would give that money without knowing for certain that that there will be a deal between the PIF and the PGA Tour Enterprises at some stage. However, the deal, today's deal, I don't know what Yasser sees, and there's a couple of points I want to make. One, if you break down the equity stakes dished out today, again, back of the envelope numbers, total valuation of PGA Tour Enterprises is $12 billion. If the Strategic Sports Groups gets 25% for its $3 billion and the PGA Tour players get, if they get $1.5 billion, that would make their stake, that would put their stake at 12.5%. So there's 37.5% equity in the new PGA Tour Enterprises is already gone. If you look at the framework agreement, the main point of that was that the PGA Tour would always be the majority stakeholder in any future NewCo, i.e. PGA Tour Enterprises. I would expect that the same would apply in this instance. So there you have 51% gone to the PGA Tour of the new PGA Tour Enterprises. So you have 51% plus 37.5%. Doesn't leave much for Yasser. If Yasser wants to come in and take a stake in the PGA Tour Enterprises, there's only 12% equity left. Maybe that's all he wants. But at one point, if you go back to June, Yasser was in a position where there were going to be significantly, very significant minority shareholders in any new company, and Yasser would be the chairman, and the PIF would have first refusal on any future capital investment in PGA Tour Enterprises. Those two elements of the June deal are clearly off the table. I don't think Yasser will be the chairman of PGA Tour Enterprises. That's not going to fly. And I don't think the PIF will have any right of first refusal on future capital investment in PGA Tour Enterprises. So my point being is there's not a lot left for Yasser, or certainly there's a lot less on the table for Yasser. I wonder if he would be happy with that.
Well, Lawrence, there's always the possibility, as we discussed on yesterday's show here on our emergency show, maybe you're missing the bigger picture here that, you know, maybe Yasser's free to invest a significant chunk of money into Fenway Sports, and then suddenly his stake gets a lot greater, and then he has a partnership now with some significant American sports franchise owners, and they have a buddy relationship with him. So it could be there may be a backdoor way that 12% for him becomes a lot greater by buying into Fenway, for all I know. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know about this business stuff. So it's, you know, I only cover the majors now, but I would think that's not something to rule out. You just feel like we're moving in this country to allowing international ownership of American sports franchises. It just feels like we're getting closer to that. And I think that's just part of this in some way that we probably aren't smart enough to understand, and the money guys will let us know when that all happens. And all I care about is wanting to know their stance on how to make the golf on the course better and more interesting to watch. And I have a feeling that that's not something that any of these people have discussed at any point whatsoever throughout any of this process. And if they have, it was Jay telling them that we're still fighting to just hang on for our friends at Acushnet to make sure we don't have that rollback, which, you know,
you gotta let it go, Jeff. You gotta.
No,
let it
I'm
go.
not going to let it go because
Yeah.
I've told you every other professional league is constantly trying to improve its sport. And look what baseball did. What is golf doing to speed up play, to get shot making back? To make it a more diverse game in terms of the ways you get the ball into the hole. That's not a look or race suggestion. That's a how you play the game. Variety is better, and they have no interest in any of that. So you want them to make the product better. Those are key elements to this. There aren't a lot of Max Homas out there and personalities that are going to come along and rescue you. You've got to have the game be more captivating to watch.
Well, I mean, my retort to that would be that Werner and Henry at the Boston Red Sox were part of a big shift in how baseball was is played and
The
presented.
general
So,
manager that they ran off, Theo Epstein,
again,
is the
no. Well,
guy
I
who. Wait, no. Wait a second. You want to
see.
tell me they drove him bonkers. He left for the Cubs. Then he went to work for Major League Baseball, and he's one of the smartest guys in all of sports. And he's a winner. He's just a hell of an executive. He's the
Right.
one
Well,
more than Joe Torre, who I love.
let's,
God
yeah.
bless him.
Well,
Great guy. Theo Epstein got that stuff done, not Rob Manfred, another, by the way, way worse than Jay Monahan, hideous commissioner. Theo Epstein got that done. He left Fenway slash New England Sports Network, whatever you want to call the whole thing. It's been changed. It used to be called that. Anyway, so don't
well,
give
I
me
don't,
the owners. The owners
well,
voted yes on the rule changes. That's what they did.
thank you. Thank you. Again, they could have voted no, but
Well,
anyway,
actually,
let's
yeah,
not
I
get
was just
into
going to
the.
ask
No.
you, do you actually know how the vote went down? No,
Well,
again,
you know,
hey, I don't want to
we're
badmouth
not
them.
going to.
They're sports
Right.
lovers. The Werners,
Right.
I know them. They're LA people. I know them from their LA time. I knew Teddy a little bit. I met him when he was a kid. They love sports. Don't give it. John Henry loves sports, but you know, they're businessmen too. Just remember that.
Right. Well, again, we're not getting to the career pathways of Theo Epstein. I don't think that's particularly relevant. My point
You
being is,
brought it up.
well, hang on. Well, you're talking 2006, Jeff. I mean, relax. It's 15, 18 years ago. More recently, John Henry and Tom Werner were part of the ownership groups
Yeah, I
that went
know.
through changes. Yeah, they were visionary enough to support the changes that have improved baseball massively. Again, I would suggest that past behavior maybe tells you something about future conduct. Hopefully, they will the points that you raised, which are all perfectly valid, and I think most people would agree with, and most people that love golf would agree with. Maybe they feel the same, and they'll do something about it or help initiate the changes that we all want to
Yeah.
see. Again, just quickly finishing off the startling lack of detail about the progress or not of the negotiations between PIF and the PGA Tour, and very little said about the DP World Tour. That is all up in the air. It's again, I'm not sure that I mean, I raised a point about what's left for Yasser. That's an excellent point you make about maybe this is the Strategic Sports Group guys want access to Yasser, and it's not Yasser really looking for access to the PGA Tour. Maybe that's what that's what it's all about now. But there's not a lot. Certainly, what Yasser had on the table in June was significantly more than what's on the table for him now. And I just wonder if he'll be happy with that. Again, it's clear to me, recent events suggest that he is not happy with what he's being offered. I mean, he just poached a couple of players from the DP World Tour and PGA Tour in the last week. Who's to say that there won't be more? That will be something to keep an eye on. But anyway, I think that's probably enough, Jeff. We went on for far longer. I was expecting 20.
I got to get back to the majors and cover and finding some news and notes for my newsletter on that, and reading more about the Vision Pro. I've got a piece coming on that, and the PGA Tour. By the way, the PGA Tour's effort, they do have a very forward looking group of people on the technology side who've been a big part of the ShotLink. And efforts to make the second screen viewing a possibility. So anyway, look for that in my newsletter about the majors. I am writing about the PGA Tour's efforts to create an app for the Vision Pro, because I do think those things are important. You know, I understand your social media stuff. I understand. I'm all for all of that stuff, but I just think we need to be fairly cautious about what this all means, and it would just be nice to know what they're investing in specifically, and we will find out. I just think on the live side, Lawrence, it's going to be a multi-year thing now. Just get used to the fact that they're going to be around next year, and maybe 2026 something will come together. It's going to be a while. So the good news is they play four majors a year, and they're still great, and we have those to look forward to.
I bring back the Friends of Golf, six events, all the best players in the world come together at iconic golf courses. I will stand by that idea.
That idea hasn't gone away probably, but it's one of those things. It's going to take time to build to something like that. And so just be patient.
Anyway, we'll leave it at that. Jeff, I'll speak to you next week. That's enough of us for this week.
Okay, take care.
It's a wide open road. It's a